From WBUR in Boston, I'm Bill Littlefield, and this is NPR's Only a Game. Cam Newton may win the Heisman today, but there are a few waggish or principled sports writers who won't even put him on their ballots. Ahead on Only a Game, we'll talk with one of them. Also, NASCAR's sparkling new Hall of Fame hits a wall. Louisville, Kentucky bids to lure an NBA team, and we'll celebrate some of the best American sports writing of 2010. Also ahead, the 18th annual Only a Game Sports Holiday Gift Guide.
The Tale of the Tiger Golf Balls Gift Set. It is a box of 12 golf balls, and each of the balls features a picture of the first of the 12 mistresses of Tiger Woods on them.
Stay tuned.
Major funding for Only a Game comes from Oliver Wyman, an international strategy consulting firm. With 3,000 professionals worldwide, Oliver Wyman serves global 1,000 companies. OliverWyman.com.
This is Only a Game. I'm Bill Littlefield. The 2010 Heisman Trophy ceremony is set for tonight in New York City. This year's leading candidate, Auburn quarterback Cam Newton, is in the middle of a controversy involving allegations his father shopped Newton's services in a pay-for-play scheme. Because of those accusations, several Heisman voters have opted to leave Newton off their ballots. One of those voters is Michael Bradley, an online columnist for Philadelphia Magazine. Michael, welcome to Only a Game.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. For listeners who aren't familiar with the process, can you briefly walk us through how the Heisman Trophy winner is selected?
Yes, there's a group of 900 or so voters throughout the country that include media members and all of the former Heisman winners who are still living who get a vote. And you have a ballot with three spots on it. And you vote for your first, second, and third choice. First place gets 3 points, second place gets two, third place gets one. All of the points are added up. Whoever has the most gets the Heisman.
In your Monday column, you wrote that Newton is, quote, the best college football player this season and will probably win the Heisman Trophy whether I vote for him or not. Given that likelihood, why did you decide to exclude Cam Newton from your ballot?
To me, the Heisman Trophy is the one award in American sport that goes just beyond what you do on the field. I think it is the most prestigious individual award that is given out. And to me, and I'm someone who has studied college football's history and written about college football's history, it is something that received a black eye with Reggie Bush's situation over the summer, and I don't want it to get another one.
Reggie Bush, of course, won the Heisman Trophy back in 2005, and he became the first honoree to return the trophy after allegations surfaced that he had accepted prohibited benefits while he was playing at the University of Southern California. It sounds as if you just don't think the Heisman can withstand this kind of 1-2 punch.
Think about it this way. Bush and his family received goods and services and benefits from an agent. This, if proven correct, means that Cam Newton received money directly from a school. So this would be even worse because it would require a school to be completely washed away of its success in the season and Newton to be declared ineligible and probation to happen. And if you listen to Pat Hayden, the athletic director at Southern California, he is mystified that last week the NCAA reported that, yes, Cam Newton's father had indeed shopped him around. And yet the player was allowed to be eligible, and there was no direct penalty for the school when, in fact, USC was punished and put on probation, and Bush was, you know, had to return the Heisman. So there are parallels. Could it be that just because Auburn's undefeated and about to play for the quote-unquote national championship that the NCAA's turning its head?
Well, of course, what the NCAA has said so far is that although Cam Newton's father has been implicated in trying to get money from Mississippi State, Cam Newton himself theoretically was unaware of what his father was doing. I take it you don't buy that story.
There's a scene in Casablanca when Inspector Raynaud is asked to shut down Rick's Cafe. And Rick says, on what grounds? And he says, I'm shocked to find out gambling's going on here. You're winning, sir. Give me a break. This goes back to the Sports Illustrated profile on Newton where he says, my father told me that the decision wasn't mine to make. If I'm 20 years old and my father's telling me I can't go to the school of my choice, I'm darn well going to find out why.
Voters for the Heisman are asked to choose the player, quote, whose performance best exhibits the pursuit of excellence with integrity. But in an era when players get recruited at younger and younger ages and tremendous money is waiting for many of them in the National Football League, is enforcing that clause going to be next to impossible?
Maybe it is, but that last prepositional phrase, with integrity, is to me what this is about. As I said in the column, one of the most prestigious and cherished duties that I have in my professional life is voting for the Heisman. As someone who really loves college football, and I look back on this trophy and what it has meant and the people that have won it, they're welcoming this man into a fraternity that is really special, and that's how I view it. If Cam Newton wins it and has to give it back in a year, then the Heisman just becomes a metaphor for everything that's wrong in college sports.
The other finalists for the award this year are Oregon running back LaMichael James, Stanford quarterback Andrew Luck, and Boise State quarterback Kellen Moore. How do you rank those three?
Luck, James, Moore.
More than 900 people have votes for the Heisman Trophy. How much company do you think you have? How many other people regard this thing the way you do?
The early numbers that I saw were maybe 6 or 7, and those were the people that sort of reported it. You know, even if there's 25 or 30, we're talking deck chair from the Titanic here. We're not really going to make an impact. I still think that Newton will win this thing, and will win it quite handily.
Despite the controversy, Cam Newton has not been distracted on the field. His Auburn Tigers are ranked number one in the country. They'll face number two Oregon in the BCS National Championship game next month. Did the BCS get it right this time?
No. Or let's put it this way. I don't know. Do we know that Auburn is necessarily better than Texas Christian? Do we know that Texas Christian is not better than Oregon? In my mind, the BCS never gets it right. There could be two teams that go undefeated and each win by a combined 900-0 score. And I would still say that if the BCS pit them against each other, it didn't get it right because you're not deciding it on the field.
Well, yeah, but just for the heck of it, let me put you on the spot. Who do you like, Auburn or Oregon?
I haven't figured it out yet. I think it's going to be Auburn. Oregon wins because it plays so quickly and puts so much pressure on the other team. In a game like this where there's going to be long commercial breaks, I don't think Auburn's going to wear down. And even though Oregon wants to spread you out and make you make plays in space, Auburn has the athletes to do that. And then I don't think there's anybody on Oregon's defense that can tackle Cam Newton. Right now, I'm going to go with Auburn.
Michael Bradley is a columnist for Philadelphia Magazine's website, and he's also a contributor for the Sporting News, and you can find a link to his column about his Heisman vote at onlyagame.org. Michael, thanks very much for speaking with me.
It's my pleasure.
Last May, the $200 million NASCAR Hall of Fame was christened in Charlotte, North Carolina. But since then, the shiny, sprawling attraction has struggled. Attendance has fallen far short of what boosters said it would be, and the facility is losing money. From WFAE in Charlotte, Scott Graff reports.
5 years ago, NASCAR announced it wanted a Hall of Fame. It invited 7 cities to bid on the project. That list was soon cut to 5, and Charlotte, Atlanta, and Daytona were then named the 3 finalists. Then in March of 2006, NASCAR Chairman Brian France announced the winner.
Like any tough decision, you look at what's going to be best in the long run. Happy to tell you today, the NASCAR Hall of Fame is going to be right here in Charlotte, North Carolina.
4 years later, the facility, paid for almost entirely with an increase in the local hotel-motel tax, opened in downtown Charlotte. Days later, it inducted its first ever class. The shrine to 6 decades of stock car racing was off and running. But fast forward 7 months, and the NASCAR Hall of Fame can't seem to get up to speed. Those who run the hall thought the first 4 months of the current fiscal year would turn a $1 million profit. Instead, the attraction has lost $400,000. Actual first-year attendance at the facility is on pace to be maybe 300,000. That's a far cry from the 800,000 boosters once thought possible.
Well, it seemed awfully exaggerated to me.
Max Mulliman is a Charlotte-based sports consultant. He's worked with the NFL, and a number of professional sports teams have hired him to project their attendance. He calls the estimates of 800,000 visitors pie in the sky.
It seemed that it might be nearly twice high of what we would have expected. I personally thought 500,000 would be a fantastic goal to shoot toward, perhaps not hit.
The lower-than-expected attendance has forced those who landed the project for Charlotte to admit they got carried away with what one leader has termed deal excitement. But Charlotte was not alone. Those who tried to lure the Hall of Fame to Richmond, Virginia, for instance, thought they could get 700,000 people through the turnstiles. Fred Agostino led the effort in Richmond. He says everyone's numbers were off.
I don't think we would have made our numbers here. I don't think the numbers would have been made anywhere in the country. Now, to be off by as much as you were off by, that's another subject.
The economy has gotten a lot of the blame in Charlotte. Other U.S. sports halls of fame have had mixed results in the current economy. Attendance has been down at the Pro Football and Baseball Halls of Fame from 3% to 5% in the last year. But at the College Football Hall of Fame in Indiana, attendance has actually gone up by about 8% since the economy soured. Still, that facility's director, Lisa Klunder, says things are never easy for a new attraction like the NASCAR Hall.
It's difficult for Halls of Fame. You know, they go in and they have this new facility and they project very high, and then there always seems to be a level of disappointment.
Klunder's Hall of Fame is in the process of relocating from South Bend, Indiana, to Atlanta. Those who lured the hall to Georgia did so with promises of 500,000 visitors annually. Now, perhaps in part because of the NASCAR Hall's struggles, those same people are revising their numbers. Again, Lisa Klunder.
There's always that letdown, and that's why I think that the group down in Atlanta is being very smart by reassessing the numbers and taking a real good hard look at that, because nobody wants to go into a situation where you're making some promises and you're not able to fulfill those promises.
So what's NASCAR think of all this? Blake Davidson is a Charlotte-based executive who helped lead NASCAR through the Hall of Fame's creation.
NASCAR is very happy with the NASCAR Hall of Fame here in Charlotte. And I think for any of those that really dig into the story and don't focus as much on, some of the attendance figures and some of the negative stories, quite frankly, that have been out there, they'll find that it's a very successful project.
Davidson and other supporters say it's a success because it's doing what it was built to do, help downtown Charlotte